Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you.
O God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we may be called to repentance and made partakers of your heavenly treasures. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Apostle Time is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the second chapter. The voice said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me, and he said to me, Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
To you I lift up my eyes.
O you who are enthroned in the heavens.
Behold, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress.
So our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he has mercy upon us.
Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
For we have had more than enough of your kindness.
Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease,
of the contempt of the proud. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
To you I lift up my eyes,
O you who are enthroned in heavens.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, the 12th chapter. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, and he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So, to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives, and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages, teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey, except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is verse 6 from the Gospel reading. Jesus marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about among the villages teaching. This is our text. What do we do with unbelief? What do we do with unbelief? For the unbelief in our own hearts, we find a model in Mark chapter 9. A man whose child has an unclean spirit responds to Jesus with this beautiful little prayer: I believe, help my unbelief. What an honest confession of his struggle. And what a precious plea for help. Whenever doubt gnaws at you, whenever an unbelief creeps into your heart, simply pray like him. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. But what about the unbelief all around us? Your brother was raised in the faith, but then walked away from it and even mocks Christian belief. You prayed every day for your niece, your goddaughter, and yet now she calls herself an atheist. Your dearest friend declines every invitation to church and avoids, like the plague, any conversation about spiritual matters. A wider lens reveals even more of a wasteland of unbelief. Online, there are groups of people who actively deconstruct their faith. This is the word they use. They deconstruct their faith and they teach others to do the same. Or there's the apostasy of Christian celebrities, like former evangelical pastor Joshua Harris. In 1997, he was all the rage in some circles for authoring a book on courtship called I Kissed Dating Goodbye. But 20 years later, he renounced his book, and then he kissed his wife, his ministry, and his faith goodbye. What do we do with such unbelief? It might make us angry. Why can't they just see it my way? It might make us frustrated. I just wish they could see what I see. It might make us sad as we think, unless someone gets through to them, they'll spend an eternity apart from God. You should know that unbelief isn't new. It isn't unique to our time. It isn't limited to our own family and friends. Jesus himself, yes, even Jesus, experienced the same thing. When he returned to his hometown and began teaching in the synagogue, they didn't welcome what he had to say. Instead, they said things like this: why isn't this little Jesus? I remember pinching his cheeks when he was 4 years old. Just who does he think he is? Where did he get these things anyway? What's this wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't that Mary's son, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And it wasn't just his old neighbors who responded this way. The unbelief was present even among his relatives and in his own household. Among Jesus' relatives and in Jesus' household. So how did Jesus respond? What did he do with their unbelief? Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled at it. I mean, consider the situation. There were people who were astonished at Jesus' teachings, but still, they didn't believe. And he marveled because of their unbelief. There were some who barely knew him, who went to great lengths to seek him out. Think about the paralytic whose friends removed the roof so that he could be near Jesus. Or Jairus, who fell at Jesus' feet, pleading for his daughter. Or the woman with the flow of blood. Remember what she wanted? Just to reach out and touch the hem of his robe. People are so desperate to see Jesus. And yet back in Nazareth, back where they knew him and he knew them, which should have meant something, still, they didn't believe. And Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. Think about his ministry. With a compassionate touch, he laid his hands on individual after individual, and they were healed. Every one of them. But still, they didn't believe. And Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. They rejected his teachings. They rejected his healings. They rejected his offer. They rejected his kingdom. They rejected his mission. They rejected his authority. They rejected him. You can see the shadow of the cross in that rejection. Their unbelief was so unbelievable that Jesus marveled at it. And that's an amazing thing. Because Jesus had seen it all. As the Son of God, literally there was nothing beyond his knowledge and understanding. He'd seen the fall of mankind, the murder of Abel, the grumbling in the wilderness, the worship of the golden calf, the lust of David, the stubborn rebellion of Israel and Judah, the burning of Jerusalem by the hand of the Babylonians. He saw it all. Nothing could surprise him, and nothing could be worse than what he'd already seen throughout all human history. And yet here, in his hometown, the people who knew him best rejected him face to face. And what else could he do? Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. But that's not where it ends. He marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about among the villages teaching. That word "went about" doesn't mean that he went about once or twice. It refers to an ongoing, repeated, habitual, continued action. You could say, he kept on teaching. He kept on. Jesus marveled at their unbelief. Nevertheless, he kept on. In other words, Jesus persisted. He didn't give up. Even in the face of outright rejection, he kept on. They refused to hear what he had to say. Nevertheless, he kept on teaching. They heard but didn't believe. Nevertheless, he kept on teaching. They could not and would not understand. Nevertheless, he kept on teaching. Here's the greatest teacher of all time, and he can't get through to them. If Jesus, face to face, in the flesh, cannot convince them, you'd think that it's a lost cause. If ever there were a group of people to write off as hopeless, it would have been them. Nevertheless, Jesus didn't give up. He kept on teaching. Whatever the obstacle, whatever the response, whatever the lack of faith, whatever the personal rejection, Jesus kept on. It's amazing that he did it. And this is where we see the character of God at work. Our God doesn't give up easily. He doesn't lose heart. He is patient and he is persistent. He keeps on going. I want you to think for a minute about some words of Psalm 23 that are probably very familiar to you because they echo this thought. Near the end of Psalm 23, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." We might think of "follow me" as it sort of hangs around, but the word "follow me" means that it pursues and runs after. Surely goodness and mercy shall run after, they shall pursue me. God's goodness is persistent. God pursues in loving
mercy. There's a lovely poem by a man named Francis Thompson called The Hound of Heaven, in which God is pictured as this hound pursuing and pursuing and pursuing. This is the heart and the character of Jesus. Whatever the obstacle, nevertheless, he kept on. He kept on right through the region of Galilee. He kept on toward Jerusalem and the cross. While he was on the way there, he was teaching the disciples about his upcoming rejection, not only in his hometown, but the chief priests and the elders and the scribes would also reject him. Why did Jesus head to the cross? Why was he willing to go there? For the sake of those who have and those who will reject him. He was willing even to die for them. Nevertheless, Jesus kept on. That's where we see the love of God. Jesus was willing to be rejected for the sake of those who rejected him. He doesn't return hate for hate. He prays for his enemies. He blesses those who persecute him. He continues even on the cross with the spikes driven into his wrists and the crown pressed into his brow. He continues to confess the truth. What it all boils down to is this. While we were still weak, while we were still unbelieving, while we were still hostile, Jesus gave his life to save us. He didn't wait for us to be worthy. He didn't wait for us to want it. He kept on because it was God's delight and his will. Jesus marveled because of their unbelief, and nevertheless, he went about among the villages teaching. You could say that he still goes about among the villages teaching, giving his word, giving himself, making known his kingdom and his truth, using his authority to forgive and to save and to heal and to promise, still does it today. It's true that we don't know how people will respond to Jesus, but we know how Jesus responds to them. We don't know how people will respond to Jesus, and we shouldn't be surprised for there to be rejection. It happened to him. It happened to his disciples. Let's not kid ourselves. It will happen to us as well. But you know that already. You don't have to be caught off guard if someone rejects Jesus and refuses to hear the word. Take heart. Be courageous. Persevere. Keep on. Whether they hear or refuse to hear, they will know that Jesus came for them and died for them. They will know it because you will tell them, and you will confess his name. The one thing we must take care about, however, is this. That if someone does reject what we say, that they are rejecting the good news of Jesus, and not just rejecting our lack of tact or care or love. If what they're rejecting is actually not Jesus, but our demeanor, or our aggressiveness, or our lack of tact, or our lack of love, that is the moment for us to repent. That is the moment for us to turn and seek our Savior again. And in repentance, we find, once again, a patient and gracious Savior. The patient and gracious Savior who keeps on for us, teaching and providing his perfect grace. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what ought to astonish us most of all is not the unbelief of others, but the graciousness of our God, of our Savior Jesus Christ, of his keeping on, his dogged persistence that went all the way to the cross for your salvation and mine, and his steadfast love and mercy that are new for you and me every morning, including this one. Because, dear friends, while many reject Jesus, we are here. And if we are here, then there is also hope for others. Hope for that brother, that niece, that friend. because there is hope for us. The greatest marvel of all is the marvel that Jesus gave his life for you and me. And this is the marvel that we invite others to believe as well. Other beloved sinners to come here, to kneel with us, and to receive from Jesus this same persistent, dogged, indefatigable mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
The congregation may be seated. I invite forward Russell Kelly Johnson, Olivia, Paige LeBlanc, Susan Helton, and Seth Rice to join me here before the altar. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism, then say, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? Then say, yes, I renounce them.
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit? Then say, yes, I believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yes, I believe in God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the Small Catechism to be faithful and true? Then say, I do.
I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Then say, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the word of God, and in faith, word, and deed, remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? Then say, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Then say, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Do you desire to become members of this congregation? Then say, I do.
I do.
Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts God has given you? Then say, I will with the help of God.
I will with the help of God.
We rejoice with thankful hearts that you have been baptized and have received the teaching of the Lord. You have confessed the faith and been absolved of your sins. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion
at the day of Jesus Christ. I now ask Kay, Susan, and Seth to kneel for the adult confirmation. Seth Giddings, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Susan Marie, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Cadence Jade, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to kneel as well. Upon this, your confession, I acknowledge publicly that you are members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congregation, would please stand. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing Russell, Kelly, and Lydia, Kay, Susan, and Seth to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and enabling them both with the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that, bringing forth the fruits of faith, they may continue steadfast and victorious to the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please stand. Seth, welcome to the congregation. Lydia, welcome to the congregation. Kelly, welcome to the congregation. Russell, welcome to the congregation. Judy, welcome to the congregation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us pray for the needs of the church and of the world. We bless you, O Lord, for you heard the voice of our pleas for mercy, and sent your Son, Jesus Christ, our strength and shield. Save your people and bless your heritage forever, Lord, in your mercy. Send laborers into your harvest, Lord. Give your ministers devotion to your word and to prayer. Provide your church with willing servants, that neither the preaching nor the care of your people may fall into neglect or disregard, Lord, in your mercy. Bless the teaching of your word in our vacation Bible school, and sustain all who help and attend, that our children and others may love what is just and true and good, and most of all, love and follow Jesus throughout their lives. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, look with mercy upon those who have rejected you or stopped their ears. Send your Holy Spirit again through the preaching and teaching of your word, that hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, they may turn and repent. Give us patience and persistence, and give us forgiveness where we have failed. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Holy Father, continue to watch over Jillian and baby Penny, as well as Marta and baby Ransom, Carly and Liz and Casey and Stephanie and Annie, who continue to await the birth of their children. Give to them good health and the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual strength for motherhood. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, protect and defend our nation from its enemies, Support our leaders and preserve them from temptation. Through the work of all civil authorities, enable us to live quiet and peaceable lives according to your word. Lord, in your mercy. Father, when we are weak, then we are strong in Christ, for your grace is sufficient for every need. Give comfort to those whose pain is chronic, whose suffering is unknown, who wrestle with difficult thorns in body or mind, or who are tempted to despair. We implore you on behalf of Mayu and her family in their mourning. Eric, for his continued recovery now at home. Agatha, as she recovers from her illness and continues with weakness. For Mona, who suffered a recent fall, that you would restore her strength. For Debbie, that you would give her peace. For Diane, with her poor health. Little Cadence, Danny, and Camilla, in her severe health problems. Marilyn, with her cancer and swollen foot. Al, Ann, Jared, Donna, and Mark, with their various needs. John, in his continued recovery and treatment, and strength for Stephanie and her family, and for Ed and Kay in their old age. Grant your grace to our homebound that they might know your love for them. In weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, help us boast in Christ and his cross, by which we and our sufferings are sanctified. Lord, in your mercy. Bountiful God, you satisfy us with Christ, the bread of life. Give repentance and faith to all who commune this day, that finding refuge in your Son's true body and blood, we may taste and see that you are good. Lord, in your mercy. All this and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for Jesus' sake, who died and rose again, and who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our reading today is from Isaiah 52, beginning at the 7th verse. "The Lord has barred his holy arm before the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.' The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his arm, his holy arm, before the eyes of the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out in haste. You shall not go out in flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve human body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord be with you.
Bless you, the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.